Today we're building an old-school riser the DNB way in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not to make some giant glossy EDM sweep. We want something darker, tighter, a bit gritty, and very usable as a DJ tool. Think pirate radio tension, tape smear energy, and that classic feeling where the bill just keeps tightening until the drop hits like a truck. This is a beginner lesson, so we're keeping the process simple, but the result should still feel proper. We're going to start with a basic source and simpler, shape it with filtering, add a little saturation and space, then resample it so it feels more like a printed old-school effect and less like a modern preset. First, create a new MIDI track and load up Simpler from Ableton's stock instruments. Now drop in a short sample. It could be a noise hit, a vocal fragment, a cymbal tail, or even a plain noise sample if that's all you've got. Don't overthink the source. In fact, a basic source often works better for this kind of thing, because the processing does the heavy lifting. Set Simpler to classic mode. If the sample is short and clean, you can leave warp off. If it needs stretching, turn warp on. Set it to one-shot playback, and make sure the start point is near the beginning of the sample. The idea here is that we want a simple trigger that can be turned into movement with automation. Now we bring in the main character of the riser. Auto filter. Put auto filter after Simpler. For a classic build, start with a low pass 24 filter type, set the frequency somewhere low, maybe around 250 to 600 Hz, and add a little resonance, maybe 15 to 35%. You can add a touch of drive if the sound needs a bit more edge, but don't go crazy yet. What we're going to do is automate that filter frequency upward over one or two bars. That rising motion is the core of the effect. In drum and bass, this matters a lot because the sub and kick need room to stay powerful. A filtered riser opens space gradually, so when the drop arrives, it feels bigger without having already blown out the mix. If you want it to feel more dramatic, start even darker and narrower, then open it up near the end. That slow release of brightness is what makes the tension feel dangerous. Next, let's add a little pitch movement. This is optional, but it helps the riser feel alive. If your source has some tonal character, automate the transpose in Simpler from 0 up to about plus 5 or plus 7 semitones over 2 bars. Keep it subtle. We're not making a huge trance climb here. We just want a little upward pressure. If your source is pure noise, that's fine. Just focus more on the filter motion. In DNB, a strong filter sweep can absolutely carry the whole effect if the movement is clean and the timing is right. Now let's dirty it up a little. Add saturator after the filter. Set the drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB and turn soft clip on. This gives the riser a slightly broken, printed edge. That edge is important for the old school feel. If it starts sounding fizzy or harsh, back it off. The distortion should add attitude, not turn the sound into white static. If you want a slightly punchier kind of grit, you can try drum bus instead. Keep the boom off, because we do not want low-end buildup in a riser. A little drive and maybe a touch of crunch is usually enough. Again, subtlety wins here. Now give the riser some space with reverb or echo. Reverb is great if you want a dark atmospheric tail. Try a decay time around 1.5 to 4 seconds, a bit of pre-delay, low cut around 200 Hz or higher, and high cut somewhere between 5 and 8 kHz if you want it darker. Keep the wet amount low. We want atmosphere, not a giant wash taking over the drums. If you want something more dubby and rhythmic, use echo instead. Set a shorter time like an eighth or a quarter note. Keep the feedback moderate, and filter the highs and lows so it stays tucked back in the mix. That can sound really nice in jungle or darker rollers. At this point, the chain should already feel like a useful tension tool. But now comes the step that really gives it that old-school flavor, resampling. Create an audio track. Set its input to resample or to receive from your riser track. Then record the riser as it plays. Once it's printed to audio, you can edit it like a proper DJ tool. Trim the edges, fade the tail if needed, and listen to how it feels as a committed sound rather than a live device chain. This is a really important habit. Old school effects often feel better once they're bounced to audio. It gives you something you can shape, reverse, chop, and place precisely in the arrangement. You stop treating it like a plugin demo and start treating it like a production element. After resampling, try making a second version. Keep one clean version and one dirtier version. You can even reverse a small part of the audio for a suck-in effect before the drop. That reverse fade is a classic move and it works beautifully in drum and bass because it creates a sense of pulling energy forward. Now let's make it work as part of the arrangement. Place the riser in the last one or two bars before your drop, or just in the final four beats before a switch-up. Automate a few things if you want extra movement. The filter opening, a little more reverb, wetness near the end, a touch more saturation, or a small volume rise before the drop cuts in. A really good old-school trick is to keep the riser narrow for most of the build, then widen it right at the end. You can do that with utility. Start with a narrower stereo image and open it up only near the last beat or two. That makes the drop feel wider and harder when it lands. This is where you should also think like a DJ. In a DJ tool, the riser isn't just a sound effect. It's a phrase marker. It helps the listener understand that something is about to happen. It can bridge an intro into a drop, guide a transition between sections, or help a mix feel more intentional. For intro sections, keep the riser darker and more restrained. It should hint at the mood without giving everything away. For outro sections, try a simpler or reversed version so it helps hand off to the next track cleanly. That is super useful if you're making your own tracks to mix in a set. A few beginner mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the riser too bright. If it becomes shiny and modern, it loses that 90s darkness. Don't load it up with too much low end either, because the sub and kick need space. And don't make the build too long just because you can. In drum and bass, one or two bars often feels way more effective than a huge 8-bar EDM style rise. Also, check the sound in context. Soloed, a riser might sound huge, but once the drums and bass come in, it can either support the groove or get in the way. The drums should stay in charge. The riser is there to point the energy toward the drop, not steal the whole show. If you want to push this further, here are a few great beginner-friendly upgrades. Layer a second riser quietly an octave higher. Add a tiny breakbeat chop underneath for a more jungle-like feel. Or use a bandpass filter sweep instead of a low-pass if you want a more claustrophobic, pirate radio vibe. Another really effective move is to resample the riser again after processing it. That extra print can give it more authority, especially if you pitch it down a touch and add a little light distortion. That's one of those old-school tricks that instantly makes things feel more committed and less polished. For a quick practice exercise, make two versions of the same riser. Build a clean one using a simpler auto-filter and saturator. Then resample it and make a dirtier version with a reverse fade-in. Place both into an 8-bar DNB loop before the drop. Automate the filter so the clean one opens slowly, and use the dirtier one for the final half bar. Compare how each version affects the drop. The big question is simple: which one makes the drop feel more dangerous without messing up the groove? If you want to go one step further, build three risers. One for an intro, one for a drop, and one for an outro. Keep the intro one dark and subtle. Make the drop one brighter and dirtier, and keep the outro one narrow and simple. Then place them all in one arrangement and listen to how each one functions as a real DJ tool. So remember the formula. Start with a basic source. Shape it with filtering. Add a little grit and space. Resample it for that old school printed character. Then place it like part of the arrangement, not just as an effect. If it stays out of the sub, supports the drums, and makes the drop feel more dangerous, you've built a proper 90s inspired DNB riser in Ableton Live 12.